Welcome to the WP Tonic This Week in WordPress and SaaS podcast, where Jonathan Denwood interviews the leading experts in WordPress, e-learning, and online marketing to help WordPress professionals launch their own SaaS.
Welcome back, folks, to This Month in WordPress and Tech, our monthly panel show. This is episode 920. We've got a small panel, but a mighty powerful panel. We've got a couple of regulars, plus we've got a special guest. We've got Mark with us. I'm not going to try and attempt his surname because it will only make the panel cry and it will be an insult to Mark. I'm going to let him introduce himself. We've got some great stories. We're going to be talking about the major record labels that are suing the leading AI audio companies. We're going to be talking about an article that Matt Medeiros published on his the WP Minute. Should be a great discussion on that. We're going to be talking about Adobe being sued. Everybody is being sued this month. So we've got an ex-lawyer with us who might be able to give us some insight about why the world is suing one another. Even to a higher level than normal. But I'm going to let the panel introduce themselves and then we can go straight into the stories. And first of all, our special guest, Mark. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely, Jonathan. Thank you for having me as always, brother. Mark Szymanski. I'm an agency owner since 2018 in the WordPress space. And I make YouTube content now, so I'm pretty involved in the WordPress community and all the fun stuff that comes with that. If you want to check any of my stuff out, just type in mjs.bio and see all my links and everything there.
Yes, Mark's become a bit of a content machine. I don't know how he sleeps. And I've got Spencer Forum, the only Spencer Forum with us. Would you like to introduce yourself, Spence?
By the way, I like the way Mark's mic sound. I think you've got some nice processing going on there, my man. That sounds good. You got what do you got there? Is that a Rode mic?
It's just like down here off screen. It's the HyperX Quadcast. So I'm just trying to keep it on.
But we'll do mic talk after the end of the show. This is Spence from WP Launchify. Always good to be here on the roundup.
Right, and I've got Kirk with us.
Hey, folks. My name's Kurt Von Auden. I own an agency called Manana No Mas, and I work directly with the good folks at WP Tonic and Lifter LMS.
Right. That's fantastic. And before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I'd like to point out we got a couple great special offers from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services for the WordPress professional or power user. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there. I want to point out, Mark, if Matt wants to join us, maybe you can send him the link, Matt, Mark. Yeah. And if he wants to join, he can. More the merrier. So let's go into the first story. Major record label sues AI company, well, companies, BBI and Dizzy, and they're not happy. They're not happy that these AI voice and song reproduction companies got all their content from their signed up stars or performers. What do you reckon, Spencer? Are they going to get anywhere with their anger of these AI voice reproduction, song reproduction companies?
On Wednesdays, I have lunch with a friend of mine, and the topic, among other things, was, what does late stage capitalism look like? And one of the consequences of this is that many of the benefits of our last 80 to 90 years of capitalism is it's the only thing that gets stuff done. I mean, you can argue for different politics, but capitalism gets things done. The problem of late stage capitalism right now is the difference or the divide between the power structures and the monetary structures that made so much money that they're powerhouses from having monopolies or from having a gateway situation versus something that disrupts that, throwing everything in chaos, because the very systems that benefit a lot of people will just fall by the wayside. One of them, let's say energy. Let's say someday somebody comes up the way to distribute free energy. The other is things like pharmaceutical industry. The other is content creation, audio, video, movies, person's likeness, their voice, their whatever. So what you're seeing here is four stories about litigation, because we're in end stage capitalism where A, the power structures are so gigantic and they have so much to lose by the disintegration of their monopolies that they're going to throw everything at it. This is like the battle for Stalingrad, the end of World War II or something like that. And the second thing is you say is that, like in modern world, there's no way that they're going to win, because it's an infinite battle. If I go back to more modern times, like more applicable, like Napster, there's 3 to 4 years where, like, Sean Fanning and Napster, he was like most wanted man on the planet. And now we like have Spotify, where I was watching this guy, Rick Beato, who's got an awesome channel, talk about like the difference between us Gen Xers. Like, I worked at the Sears for 4 weeks to save up enough money to buy like the Led Zeppelin album, and I had to go to the Tower Records and hand over my cash, and then I went home and I cleaned the album and I had to listen to the tracks, and then my friends would share the album, but we couldn't distribute it. Now for $10 a month, my 13-year-old gets every piece of music ever made by any artist, and he's just flipping through it like, I mean, I ripped all the tracks out of that album because it took me so much time and money to get there. Well, this is an example. Like, these guys are going to lose because you can copy anything anyway, anyhow, and do it underground. So it's, that was a long answer, but I think that frames a lot of these conversations. It's like, there's no winning a battle against digital content protection in a world of AI. Never going to happen.
Yeah, I've got so mixed feelings about this, Spencer, because I did also read a couple other online resources and watched a couple YouTube videos. And they were saying that one of the reasons why the record companies are suing these particular companies is that they've invested in their own AI companies. And they're not really interested in protecting the artist. They're just bit peeved that these companies have got in a bit quicker than their own solutions. So I thought that was a bit hilarious myself. So Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great stuff from you two guys there. I mean, it's a touchy subject. I see the copyright side of it, because I feel like if I'm producing content, I don't necessarily want people to steal that. But at the same time, you know, it is just a weird situation that we find ourselves in now. I feel like it's kind of like Pandora's box has been opened with, like, as we've gotten to the AI portion of everything. And you know, I know it's not directly related to the music thing, but it's the exact same concept of, you know, I think about like all the videos that I put on YouTube, and then like you think of like Sora, if you guys have heard of, you know, I think maybe we talked about that on a different episode or something, but like Sora with OpenAI, they like they're dodging questions as if they train, if they did or did not train their model off of YouTube videos, as an example. And yeah, I feel like we're in a weird position where we have to just collectively as individuals realize that anything you put out there probably digitally is probably going to be like more or less stolen in a way, which is not like good. I'm not saying this is good or bad, but that's kind of like the mentality that I have. And ultimately where that's led me is in a world that's like completely like becoming more and more artificial, you have to be just like, this is why like I've tried to lean in more to like being authentic, being myself. And then if that gets stolen, then I have no idea where to go from there. But with the music stuff, yeah, I have no idea. I don't know how we combat that. I don't think Spencer said, I don't think they're going to win the battle, because even if they do, then couldn't you just like create AI music that's like, what do you say? It has to be like 10% different than like the actual artist's voice or something. Like, it's just a weird spot we're in. I don't know.
I see where you're coming from, Mark, but we do, there's a lot of law around copyright. You know,
yeah.
Your last question, which is totally logical. My understanding is there's a lot of prior legal case law around making that judgment call. But, yeah. Kirk, I listen to a lot of Professor Galloway's content, YouTuber, and he said a few weeks ago that newspapers, authors, artists really need to band together, and then they need to go to these AI companies and say, you've got to give us a bit of the action, and you got, you know, or you're going to end up in court for years. So it's the inability of publishers, newspapers, authors, artists to really band together in associations and have those associations really effectively represent them is one of the key problems. And he said this is one of the problems when Google, because effectively Facebook, Yahoo, and especially Google, they have ripped off people for years. They have done, in some ways, what the AI companies are proposing to do, but on steroids. What was your thoughts on this, Kurt?
My thoughts usually boil down to the haves and the have-nots. And, you know, the follow the money phrase. And, you know, as someone that's authored a couple of books, when AI was first coming out a couple of years ago, I was like, well, that's really kind of crappy because they could just scrape anything I've ever written, regurgitate it, and act as if it's theirs and share it with everybody. And that's where I become a lot like Mark. And that is, very few people have the communication style that I have. Like if I'm a public speaker in a room, if I'm a trainer in an organization, people come up to me after every class and go, oh my God, no one's ever presented the material like that. I feel like it's been revealed, right? And that's where that nobody in this timeline is going to make any new music. Like every note's been played, everything. Like you'll hear people say that all the time. It's just, if you know those three chords, you can make a hit song. And the idea that music companies want to own those three chords and charge somebody a nickel every time it gets combined into something, it's ridiculous. It's people trying to cling on to dollars that are no longer theirs, and they just need to move on to the next thing, modernize, and figure out what the next thing's going to be, and be somewhat of a futurist, get on the train early, because right now they're late. It's like trying to sell landline phones in a world where everybody's on mobile.
Yeah, I see where you go. So let's go on to story two, which came from Matt Medeiros. I think he was trying to join us on this, but I think he gave up. I don't know. But he wrote a great piece on the WPMinute.com website, and he does a podcast as well. And he wrote a piece, What Would We Do With the Keys of the Kingdom? And it's his thought about the ongoing unhappiness with the way Automattic and the Great Leader runs WordPress in general. And he had an article from a gentleman who I'm going to totally butcher because he comes from Iceland, but he lives in the UK, and hopefully he will be coming on the WP Tonic show for an interview. And is it Baldur's Benjamson. You're laughing. So can
I
you
think it's Jarnison?
This is like you going to IKEA and trying to name all the furniture there.
Yes, either attempt. How would you pronounce it?
This is not going to end well.
How would you
just call him BB?
BB. All right. It's BB. And he wrote an article and he was a contributor to CORE. He fell out with the great leader. He went through this insane complaint procedure. I have no idea why people even bother with it. What was your thoughts about, what was some of the key things that you got from Matt's article that you would like to point out to the tribe?
This is the keys of the kingdom one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just did an hour right before I hopped on here, like on my live stream. And one of the biggest things was, I think we're talking about a little later, just like kind of future of WordPress, that type of thing, keys of the kingdom, all kind of there. And I don't know, I'm way newer to this than you guys.
Come on, Mark. Don't give us this flannel.
I have to preface it because like my problem with WordPress so far, at least like my perspective of it, is just like I feel like it's this constant thing of like project versus product, which I understand at the core of it. But I also think that similar to how we just talked about, like, I do think that times are changing and it's a motif that I see. Again, this is not about age here, but I'm one of the youngest people like in this space making content. I feel like I can kind of be the conduit between like the generation of veterans that built this thing and watched it evolve and contributed to it versus the younger kids coming up, the next gen, we'll call it. And I don't see how like somebody in their 20s would feel called to like join the WordPress tribe and community. I've used it for a little bit and I found it, and I think it's great, but I do think I'm kind of in the minority when we look at the other things. So to bring it specifically to this, like, that's one of the things for me is like what Matt's saying in the article, like, I don't really feel like I know exactly. It's open source. It's great. You can go on the Slack. You can't do that on other platforms, but I still think it's a little hazy. Like, I don't know who's doing what, who has control. We talk about automatic a lot. Like, maybe it's because I haven't been here long enough to understand everything, but
I will clarify you because I'm going to put my position on this and I'm going to ask her and finally get the great Spencer Forum to put his bit in.
That's us. Don't glaze me, Mark.
This is my position, Mark. I really agree with a lot of what Matt Medeiros has said in this piece. But I've been, to some extent, critical of the way Automattic and how the great leader runs things. And I have not considered WordPress to be a true open source project for almost 9 years, Mark. But on the other hand, there's a lot of open source projects that have a lot of problems about ownership and leadership. It's not only a problem that affects just WordPress, Mark. It's affected a lot of open source projects. And it's dealt with in various ways, Mark. Some means the project continues and grows, and there's been other situations where it's led to the semi-death of the project, whatever it is. Now, my problem is I've made it quite clear to the great leader my annoyance. I have no personal hatred or trying to find the right word, Matt, with the great
animosity.
And that's it, animosity to the great leader. He's done me no personal harm. I've just want the best for WordPress, and I really don't even understand why he makes certain statements and why he doesn't clarify the situation a bit more, because I don't even think it benefits him, Mark. But he owns everything. He owns the branding, the copyright. He owns, indirectly, he totally owns WordPress.
Yep.
Now, the people that criticize him, I have even less time for them than I have with the great leader. They are driven by a certain political ideology, Mark. They will never be satisfied. If they were running WordPress, it would collapse very rapidly. They couldn't organise a piss house in a brewery, most of them. They are malignants. Their only profession is complaining. They couldn't run anything constructively. And they are at the core of a group of people that have fallen out with a great leader. They have personal animosity, they have personal hatred towards him. I don't think he's got much time for them either. And they just want at it. I don't think that's very constructive. It doesn't mean some of the things they say are not correct, Mark, because some of their criticisms are totally justified. But that's not why they're really complaining, Mark. They're complaining because of their political ideology. And also they're hypocrites because they knew for years that WordPress was totally owned by the great leader, Mark. Mm-hmm. But because they were getting personal benefit from it and WordPress was growing, and some of these criticisms occurred, Mark, because of the mess that Gutenberg was, which has improved with new leadership, Mark. It has improved. But a lot of this was driven by Gutenberg not really going that well. And it's all a kind of witch's brew, Mark, of personal resentment and frustration with Gutenberg, Mark. Yeah. So, Kirk, what's your own thoughts about this? I just thought I would educate the young.
That was a great amount of context there. I appreciate that.
Yes.
You make it easy to follow you, Jonathan. You really do sometimes. My personal take on this whole WordPress thing is, and people bear with me, but I think WordPress is a giant mega church of sorts. And the way that I make these associations is think about how big WordPress is. Hundreds of thousands of people use it, and only a small number of people actually work with it. I mean, volunteer, be part of the community, and pour into it. I wasn't part of the community until just a few years ago. And so I was one of these blind agencies that was just making websites and trying to eke a living out of this thing. And then I joined into the community and I started to, you know, be more public facing and understand what some people are complaining about. But to me, it's no different than some mega church with a pastor at the top, a small group of advisors that get paid, and then a few volunteers that think they lead something, but they really don't, because they're not getting paid. They're not part of the inner circle, right? And then you got all these people out here on the outskirts that don't give a crud. They just want the message. They just want access to the open source content. And as long as that continues to happen, I honestly think WordPress has grown to be one of these too big to fail operations. It'll keep going, because there's such a huge number of people that just don't give a crud about what somebody...
Yeah, I just wanted to say something quickly before I throw it over to Spencer. I do honestly feel that there was a small core of contributors that really believed the great leader's nonsense, really believed that WordPress was a truly open source project. And indirectly or directly, they were misled by the great leader and some of his henchmen and women. And they rightly feel a bit bitter. There's a bigger subsection that always knew that it wasn't truly an open source project, and they just went along with it because they were getting personal benefit from it. And now they are some of the biggest whingers because they're not getting so much benefit out of it. So they're not happy either. So I just want to point out there is a smaller group of people that really believed the great leader's nonsense. I've never believed it. I've never believed his propaganda. Doesn't mean I hate him. Doesn't mean that I don't want the best for WordPress. But it doesn't mean that I'm just going to fall for his nonsense either. So what do you reckon, Spencer? Do you think I'm totally wrong, or do you think I've got the gist of it correctly?
As you were saying all that stuff, I kept hearing Fleetwood Mac's Landslide
the song Landslide in my head, like, I'm getting older, you'll get older. Anyway, the point is back to...
Yeah, but do you agree with the basics?
I do agree, but in context of two concepts, the late stage capitalism, and the second part is everything that succeeds evolves where it reveals that the emperor is wearing no clothes or the Wizard of Oz is some dude with curves. So when we started this whole project, the world was different. The energy was different. It wasn't sus, like the kids say today.
No cap.
It was 20 plus. Okay. Right. It was Riz. 20 years ago, everything was exciting and new because it hadn't happened before. So there's like the factor of also the weariness of success and what people have done with it. The last 2.5 years, I've been very vocal, and I'll put this in context of my own evolution of thought. At first, it was exciting, and it was like stumbled into this, and I didn't realize what it was going to be. And over the years, the business has started to evolve, and you evolve your own businesses. You learn to become an expert. You learn what you can buy, you can sell, you can make, whatever. You see a lot of cynicism because some people fall by the wayside. Other people decide to be black hat. Other are white hat. I myself have gone on the record of talking to Mullenweg and talking to Syed and talking to other people who I believe that they're good human beings, but they're not acting with good moral intent for the community or for others around them, nor are they being consistent in their message. I like to act differently. But here's how I view it as a realist, as a humanity realist, is that the things run in half of the internet and everybody's battling for who's going to take their share. And the forces are very powerful now, so the stakes are high. It would be naive of anybody to think that Mullenweg, he's not a schmuck. He knew when he made those deals that he kept the WordPress name and he kept the various assets and he knew Gutenberg was his thing. And he's been driving because he's having those backyard meetings with Benioff and all the other investors about what this thing needs to be to pay them off ultimately. So they're not foolish, and neither is Syed. So the only thing I could say to those who care about this is that my view seems to work for me. My view is I have the Achilles heel in my hand of those guys, and I've got a nice little sharp knife right here that I can slice as necessary to get what I need and want, because this is the one exceptional community where the legalities do not get in the way. If it was Microsoft or Salesforce or any of these things, they could sue me all day long about the licenses. But with WordPress, I can get as many people interested in the flag that I'm carrying to follow behind me, and I can take all of their stuff with me, including Mullenweg's. And I'm not going to do that to fight them. I'm just meaning to say it's good for the goose.
Yeah, I think you're making some good points. Well, the problem with some of the most vocal people, I've been quite critical, but I've never tried to do it really in a personal, vindictive way. I just thought it could be clear.
It's irrelevant anymore, personal.
But they have made it extremely personal, and also the great legal. Well, I'm not going to go in and name.
No, but I mean, you're talking about Mullenweg, because he's
there's some of the people that criticize him the most in the WordPress community.
Let me add one thing to this, because this gentleman, BB Bjorn, he brings up a good point, and there was another very nice lady, and I'll kill her name, but I'm going to butcher it, who she got personally assaulted for her participation in WordPress, and she's been also very vocal about it. Here's the thing I see in that, is that it's surprising that more people have not had their feelings hurt or been crushed by somebody in a position of Matt's position or otherwise, because most of the time these billionaires or 100 millionaires act even worse. So, I mean, to their credit, they've been remarkably low-key about what actual amount of power and wealth they have.
I did like BB's comment about the Surf Lord Otto.
I'm saying like he was part of the club, and then one day he woke up and realized he's hanging out in a club where he's there at the discretion of the club owner. And it's sort of shocking to him, but I don't think it should be a surprise, because I think we crossed that threshold a long, long, long time ago. And the Gutenberg project, I have to say one thing about this, that it's interesting.
everybody who I talk to has their own personal flavor of tools that they love. And I'm friends with, you know, everybody from one side is, you know, Kevin Geary, who's like CSS master, all the way over to like, I like Bricks over here, or Divi.
The Zen master.
I don't care what your tool set is. For me, Gutenberg default with cadence, blocks, and theme is everything I ever needed and more. And all the other conversations and Poodle Press and all the rest we want to talk about, the full site, let them go to town. Build your channel, get audio. I don't care. The Ace Hardware has 10,000 screwdrivers to choose from. I don't like every one of them.
I think that's a fantastic point, Spence. So there's so many choices. Why get hung up because somebody else wants to use something else? I don't really get it myself, but there we go. I think we've had a great discussion. I think it's time we had our middle break. We've got about two to three. Have time for two to three of the other stories. We've got some great stories coming up in the second half. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. I have. I think it's been quite adult discussion. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Just want to point out that I do a weekly newsletter. It has a commentary that I write, plus it has the leading WordPress stories and tech stories of that week. You can get this rag and it's free. And it's unique because I'm unique as like Mark and Kirk and especially Spencer are unique. You can get this rag by going over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. And if you want to support the show, please show it by signing up for the newsletter. That would be great. On to the next story.
Don't blaze me, bro.
What's that?
Don't blaze me. That's what the kids say. Don't blaze me.
I have no idea what you... I have no idea what the hell you're going on.
I have a 13-year-old at home, trust me.
Every day. Oh, it's like a second language.
I feel like Pauly Shore has been reincarnated.
Kirk amazes me now. He's got teenagers.
And he's straight bussing, no calf for real.
He's cold. I just don't know how he does it. So what we go on to the next suing story, because everybody seems this month to be suing everybody. US sues Adobe, hiding termination fees and making it difficult to cancel their subscription. Well, it's a bit nice that you're surprised about the great leader owning everything. Who would ever thought Adobe wasn't the greatest people to do business with? What do you reckon, Mark? I'm stunned. You know, Adobe not being that great with their customers. Aren't you shocked, Mark?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever given them any money, so I'm probably better off. But yeah, it seems pretty predatory. I'm so mixed on this too, because I'm interested to hear your guys' opinion. Cause like, my go-to gut is to not like for more like regulation of those types of things. That being said, there has to be, I feel like, some level of that. But to me, the way that I think about it without even going into the, like, that's great they got sued and like they got called out for it. But the way that I look at it is more like that's just a bad business. Well, that's true. But I'm saying like it's just more to me, it's like a bad business model. I think of it like I'm a business, they're a business. Like would I do that to my customers? If I do that to my customers and then I get found out, like my customers are going to be pissed.
Mark, you know, we are talking about the US. The whole of corporate US is built on this business model of fucking their client.
No, it is not.
I'm sure there's a lot of it, but what I'm saying is like I look at this and like I always, when I take these things, I try to apply them myself and I just think, was that a good business decision or a bad decision, like ultimately? And I would say it's probably not. So then I would say like For me, I'm not going to do that. And then for them moving forward, I do hope that they at least get called out on it. Hopefully, you know, something kind of comes of it. At least they have to, at minimum, they have to fix it. And then I do ultimately think that I think like the effect of it is if they were doing that, they're probably going to lose customers because some people are going to be like, wow, that was kind of a shitty thing for them to do. So, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know if they should or shouldn't be like, you know, like if they should or shouldn't win that type of thing. But I do think that, you know, this coupled with the idea of, I don't know if you guys ever watched like Lewis Rossman, he had a video on this, like this type of thing where everything's going to subscription world rather than like the old school buy one time and get to use it. I'm mixed on that as well. But it does open more problems like these. So I don't know. I don't really have answers. I just have thoughts.
Uncle Spencer, now when it comes to specifically Adobe, I think it's in the core of Adobe's DNA. I don't think they could do anything straight, Adobe. I think it's so endemic in the culture of Adobe to act in this way. They're going to find it extremely difficult to change their ways. It's a bit like asking Microsoft to change their ways. I think it's really endemic in the culture of the company.
Yeah. Let's break it out, though, because I think this is a test case. But also, let's talk about, I'm bringing it back to the late stage capitalism and models that come and models that go. All right. And I'm also going to throw Automotive in this, because this is directly what I talked to him about. And this is where...
Interviewing Wadi Wonka, it wasn't too harsh, was it?
There's nothing I'm saying that isn't been said before, and it's all non-ad hominem. It's about the business practices. Okay, so late-stage capitalism. Everybody switched to a SaaS model. Jason Fried, 37 Signals, Basecamp, fellow Chicago and common sense person, he remembered back in the 90s when we all used to save up our money from working at Sears and go down and buy software and floppy disks and stuff, and we paid once and that you owned it, right? So they have a new product called Once they're testing, which is like going back again retro versus what Mark Benioff at Salesforce invented, which was the SaaS model of software. And in the heyday of the 90s, Microsoft was a multi-offender on that, where you'd have to buy seats and all these recurring support things. And the SaaS model for the consumer market or the products like Adobe was a natural outcropping of, shit, we can make an F ton of money by just selling people stuff virtually and it's hosted on our platform. But what's happened is that the competitive nature of no barriers to entry meant that people started getting other choices. And Adobe didn't spend their money on being creative, so they had to go to this model where they trapped people into gilded cages. Then here's where the part kicks in that's a warning sign. Just like Getty Oil and just like Rockefeller and just like with the monopolies of the railroads. At a certain point, when your behavior gets bad enough and you're big enough and you make enough money, you will be the target of a prosecutor. You'll be the target of a politician. You'll be the target of a newspaper reporter. You'll be the target of an angry mob of citizens who say, your 7-step cancellation process, Automotive, is not cool, dude, and we're going to do something about it. And in this case, Adobe has really taken a double step in the wrong direction because they kept double tripling up their subscriptions. They threatened to shut down all your shit that was hosted in the cloud, like to literally hold your shit.
They would need a blood sample.
Which, by the way, I will make a metaphor. Warning to WP Engine. Warning to Automotive. The steps you're taking towards breaking your WordPress plugins if you don't put your license key in, warning, because I live in a society here in Chicago. I have 2,000 class action lawsuit attorneys that are like friends and family who are just reading newspapers or looking online every day for bad behavior like this. But if you get, hold on, if you get big enough, like Adobe's big enough, obviously that attracts things like the FTC and the DOJ. Who needs the aggravation? Going to Mark's point, which is my point. We're in a world where humanity is your attention of humanity is your best sales tactic. Word of mouth, reputation for honoring and cherishing the common sense of a human relationship with somebody where you make a promise, you keep a promise, You act with intent and integrity. That's it. In a world of automation and AI and virtual stuff, like where albums are being produced by robots and stuff, you know what sells stuff? Like when the Grateful Dead said, come and put your towers up and record all of our stuff at a live event because you could see we're really there. That's the business model. And warning to Mullenweg, warning to Osomotive, warning to WP Engine, you keep doing crazy shit with your software and somebody's going to come along because it's open source and just bypass you and say, come to our live thing where everybody here cares.
Well, I hope you make this clear that you're disappointed with WP.
This is my personal Spencer Foreman.
No, I'm just going to say the
opinions of Jonathan Denwood or the WP Tonic Show.
Well, thank you. But I hope next month you make this complaint clear about WP Engine because the founder's joining us next month. So I hope you don't.
Which founder?
The founder of WP Engine. So I hope.
Well, Jason?
Yes. I hope.
But I've said this. Jason doesn't run that anymore. It's Heather Brunner and the whole board of directors. Jason has said to everybody publicly, and he said to me in private, if whatever you say to him, and I don't blame him. By the way, Jason's smartest guy I've ever met and the nicest guy I've ever met. He does not act with ill intent, but it's gotten away from him.
Yeah.
He says, if it doesn't move the needle like $100 million, they don't have time to think about it.
Yeah.
That's how insane it's gotten for them. But at the same time, I've been talking for 5 years in public about how bad their practices are with things like caching.
Yeah, they still $100 million.
But it's the same concept. You know, I'm saying this Adobe, let me just finish this thought.
Yeah.
The Adobe thing is coming for WordPress because as WordPress evolves, it's like these bigger companies are doing a land grab and they're going to pull this kind of shit. And when they do, I say word to the wise, this is going to be coming for you as well.
Yeah. And I agree.
I relinquish the floor to my colleague, Kurt, from Kansas.
Yeah.
This is great.
So what do you?
I reserve my time.
Yeah, go. That's one way of putting it. What do you reckon?
I'm the opposite of Mark. Adobe has gotten all of my money since the Macromedia phase.
It's all their corporate pension.
Yeah. I've personally funded somebody's retirement. And the walled garden effect that Jonathan talks about is there because now I have enterprise clients that build stuff in their creative cloud. And if I'm going to, you know, modify it, change it, share it with those clients, I need to be subscribed to this thing that I can never get out of. And I'm going to go one step further. Their whole platform is confusing and shit. And I'm just going to say it. It just, you know, I go to export a Premiere Pro video and it just sits there and hangs in my screen for 10 minutes. And I go, huh, I wonder if there's an update.
It's not even good shit, isn't it? You would mind if it was expensive good shit.
He's not wrong when you compare it to Canva. He's so right. Like, go to Canva.
I use Canva and Canva and DaVinci Resolve.
Yeah, so I've got DaVinci Resolve on my computer, another open source product. I've got that. I've got these other things, but sometimes I need to have what the client's using. And so now I'm stuck subscribing to this thing that never goes anywhere. And when you are paying a premium dollar for something and there's some update, so now the output doesn't record, play, the codec is bad, the whatever, it is so frustrating because that doesn't happen on Descript. It doesn't happen on, what's the other one? Opus AI. It doesn't happen on any of these tools. But the thing I'm paying a premium for never works the first time I go to use it.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's just absolutely amazing, isn't it? On we go. And I like to point out Matt Medeiros, it's my influence on Kirk. It's growing, unfortunately, because he doesn't know it's me, but I'm having an effect.
They caught my sweet spot when it comes to money and poor quality combined. I don't do well. If it was free and open source and it didn't work.
On WP Tonic, we have terms and conditions. The main cancellation is in the frequently asked section of the website in really plain language. You give 30 days notice. I have loads of people complain to me, not loads, but a few. And I just say, it's in black and white. It's not hidden anywhere. So you can't please everybody, but when it comes to Adobe, they are the pits.
You know what the best cancellation policy is?
Huh?
Somebody says, I like to cancel. You say, you're out, and here's your money back. And if it's in the middle of the month, you prorate it. If it's at the beginning of the month, you give it. That's it. It doesn't have to be complicated because there's no, it's like being in a situation where you're married and the person says, I want a divorce. And you're like, oh, I'm going to make that hard on you. That's just making your life difficult because that person is going to spend every waking moment torturing you. I can't understand how people who are making financial decisions don't understand that locking unhappy customers into their product is like the worst business decision ever, no matter how big you are.
Yeah, on to the next story. And it's a story from Poodle Press from Jamie. I keep asking him. He's come on the show to be interviewed. I'd love him to join us on the Round Table show. Hello. But he did a really great video a few days ago, and it's about Wix Master Plan conquering WordPress. And he made some fantastic points, Tribe. He pointed out that they've got over 200 people in their market. This is their agency-focused product that they're pushing heavily. They've got over 200 people in their marketing department. They're doing a load of outreach to people like Jamie and influencers online. And he made some great points. So, Mark, I don't know if you had the opportunity to watch the video. I thought Jamie did a really great job, and he pointed out some great things. What did you have the opportunity to watch the video, and what were some of the key things that you got from it, Mark?
Yeah, I watched it and tweeted about it. I said it's I said it's required viewing for people in WordPress, especially those in power. And then I was doing my live stream this morning. I talked about it for probably like 40 minutes, just the concepts and everything. And we've kind of touched on some of the things here when we were talking about Matt's story earlier. But I think it's really important to keep an eye on the other platforms. I mean, we already touched on it, but I think it's really important to at least keep an eye on them. I understand there's this big conversation. I heard it in my chat earlier today between projects and products, which I understand that WordPress is not like a for-profit type thing, but we talked about like it's open source, but there's obviously conversations to be had. The great leader, yeah. So like, I just think that there's like a fair amount of... I'll bring this point up because I don't think I said it here, was... I think this is a hypothesis from what I've seen. You guys tell me if you think there's any reasonability to this. There's a lot of people that watched and literally coddled this project, WordPress, all the way up from like, you know, early 2000s or whatever, like to now. They've seen every stage of it. They almost feel like it's like a friend that they grew up with. And me, somebody who's came in a little later, I see it from that angle and I appreciate that angle. But at the same time, I see it from a different lens. And maybe again, it's kind of like, because I can be that conduit between like the next gen and the veterans. And it's like, I think that we're kind of there. I think there are some things that are behind the scenes, maybe potentially going to happen here with the whole that marketing situation that went on. And now there's like, you know, maybe a next gen of that, like a next iteration of it. But my point is, I think that's really critical because these other people, Kevin Geary put out a great tweet today, long tweet about like this, the whole video. And there's a lot of, I just feel like we can't just like turn our heads from like the Wixes and the Squarespaces and the Webflows. I think we have to keep some level of a finger on the pulse of what's going on there because they are, like Jamie said, they got 200 people in their marketing department. I know we can't deploy those types of funds or whatever, but they got 200 people in their marketing department and they're all like in people's DMs and like trying to get that product to be successful. We have the manpower in WordPress. We have that. It's just like, can the messaging be decent enough and tight enough that people actually want to kind of put it out there and have some sort of cohesion to a degree?
I think one of the things, there was two things, key things that I want to point out, Mark, is that that Wix and Squarespace and a couple others are really gunning for the small to medium-sized agency market. And that was the core strengths of WordPress. It was the small to medium to some of the larger digital agencies. WordPress still is a core element, but the competition is growing and they really see the gravy in the agency market and they're gunning for WordPress, basically. They really are, and it's only going to ramp up. And WordPress needs to up its game, and it needs to stop arguing, which we talked about in the first half, because there's bigger external forces that are even a bigger threat. And the second thing is, which was a little bit self-serving for Jamie and myself, but still true, is the total lack of support from the WordPress professional plugin hosting about supporting influencers and really paying real money to sponsor influencers of WordPress. And basically, there's some companies that really do support independent producers like me, but most don't want the support, don't really financially want to spread any money, and it's a problem. And you see the kind of money that Wix is prepared to spend with independent content influencers. It really shows how a lot of WordPress companies have got their heads up their arse, basically. That's how I would put it. So let's go to Kirk. What did you think? Because I thought it was a very good video, actually, Kirk.
It's a great video, but I really identify with Jamie's comments at the end, and that's, you know, I still wouldn't use it because I don't like closed systems. I like open source. Yeah. And if that's your drive, if that's, you know, the digital sovereignty and stuff that we talk about frequently, if that's your drive.
Well, you made some fantastic points, didn't you, Kurt? Because that is the problem with a lot of these walled gardens. They look very attractive, and then, but you can get sucked in, and it's a nightmare getting away from them, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we could be really ruthless, and we could just say a bunch of brand names right now, so everyone's device that is listening will send them ads for Clixio and Zoho and all these other things. But when you start looking at that and you go, oh, 45 tools and this and that and a CRM tool and a scheduler and this and that, you go, oh, and it's only $40 a month. I'm in. And then once you get in, you're like, oh, but I really need it to do this. Or my client wishes it was chartreuse with a periwinkle border. And then you're going, oh, crap. And then you're stuck.
So, Spencer, what did you reckon of the video?
I mean, Jamie's crafted quite a niche for himself. We joke about it because we had a conversation too, but like, he's very favorable, would be the nice way to say it, for full site editing and all the other things.
I totally disagree with him on that, but I still respect
that. That would be putting my opinion mildly, but Jamie and I can agree to disagree
Spencer, unlike certain individuals in the WordPress community, I'm okay with people having different opinions to mine without banning me. Unlike a certain crowd of shitheads, that if you disagree with them, they ban you for fucking life, don't they, Spencer?
Remember, stay out of the ad hominem. Anyway, so Jamie has done a very good job of building his YouTube following, and he's very on track. And I like some of the things he's been doing with getting those live build outs and stuff. I don't find myself shopping in the same section of the hardware store for which tools to use. I disagree on a lot of those things, but I admire how he's stayed focused, and he's definitely not changing his course. So kudos to him for that. But the Wix part, I completely agree on the sense of something that I said probably 2.5, 3, 4 years ago already. When I looked up on this show during one of the shows, like, what's the market cap of Wix, the Israeli company?
No, but
it just dwarfed WordPress. And it was because they focused on the user experience. And if you asked anybody on the streets, whether they're like a CSS expert, like a Kevin Urie, or if they're just like a Kurt used to be, like, just I'm building stuff for clients, nobody gives a goddamn about who made the tool. They only care about what it does for them. And so for the 54% of the universe that doesn't use WordPress, I think there is a handwriting on the wall. You may become the next Adobe if you don't focus on the user experience and unifying the thing, which gets back to my bigger point. For myself, I've grown weary and exhausted, and many of my colleagues in this space have grown exhausted of, we're no longer just a bunch of kids around the campfire where we know each other telling jokes and, you know, funny stories. Now it's like real business, people acting cutthroat, people with real power behaving poorly, forgetting that they're human beings putting their pants on one leg at a time. So for me, I'd rather spend my time doing what's worked out since, well, I started talking about this. This year has proven I have an endless stream of typically Gen Xers and older who are like, where the hell have you been all my life with this WordPress as a service? Because I just want a human being like a concierge in a hotel to go, here's what you need to do. And everybody else can do whatever the hell they want with the tools and the hardware store. To me, that's what my version of WordPress looks like. But if there was ever a time when Wix could make it easier or better, I would have no trouble switching to Wix.
Yeah, but the thing I want to point out to you, Spence, is what Matt Medeiros pointed out, which I really disagree with Matt. I understand where he comes from.
I think Matt and I are on the same page.
I don't want WordPress to be run like a committee because we've seen other open source projects. But on the other hand, having it just run by one man or one woman isn't a great idea either, because if that man or woman is great if things are going well, but if they've got the wrong ideas and they go the wrong path, what's going to be done about it? So
it's not of consequence to us because it's, oh, hold on, you're forgetting one key point.
Okay.
The Achilles heel of this bad behavior by those who are doing it, open source software. If anybody wanted to, they could just, the guy from Wix, I swear to God, I said this, and I think the guy from Wix could take WordPress and start hosting WordPress solutions and have his developer team work on making it better. That would be like something if I had $5 billion market cap, I would consider doing. And that's the beauty of this. See, you live by that sword, you die by the sword. And it doesn't matter that it's called WordPress or you called it blah, blah, blah press. Nobody cares, because look at, like, Nathan Berry just decided.
That would be my pronunciation, blah, blah, blah.
Saying, you know, like, you can, in the world of infinite domains, okay, nobody, ConvertKit became Kit. I don't know if I agree with that, but like, Kit meant 10 billion things. He spent the fortune to go to Kit, but like, you can tell that nobody cares. It's like, fine, three, four less letters to type. But the bottom line is, we're not going to be staying static. I have found all these new devices.
I thought, but the thing is, I've been told about this, the crowd that goes after the great leader, they're such a...
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The devices are going to change. Like, listen, yeah. I right now am looking at you on a big TV, but I use a headset.
Yeah, we've got to move on because Kurt's probably going to leave.
I know we're going to leave, but let me just make
sure. I need to finish it now. So, Kurt, you brought a story on about the auto industry being hacked. Can you tell us about this story before you got to go off, Kurt?
Yeah, I've only got a few minutes left. I have a hard stop at the top of the hour, but I'll make it quick. We talk a lot about SaaS, you and I, Jonathan, and this is an example of SaaS gone wrong. CDK is a huge, huge platform, serves over 15,000 automotive dealerships with the dealership communication software that runs the whole
business. It's a total Swiss Army knife.
Swiss Army knife that runs everything. And I had to use that system for a couple of decades. Those and Reynolds & Reynolds is the other big player in the field. And there's a couple of others. One's called UCS, which I called useless computer systems. But these automotive operation platforms are dealer subscribed to it for thousands of dollars a month. And there's per user licensing fees and all kinds of crazy, all the bad business stuff that we talked about happens with these types of companies. Well, in an act of what I consider global terrorism, they were hacked by this company called Black Suit.
Russians. Bloody the Russians.
Whoever we want to phrase them as, they hacked these cats. And then what we're being told is, hey, out of being overly cautious, we're going to shut down the servers and protect everybody's data. I think what really happened was, oh, crap, we lost the data. So then they were, the ransomware was for tens of millions of dollars. And the rumor is that they're paying that. You know what? Yeah. For tens of millions of dollars, I'm pretty sure you get the CIA to whack somebody for you and keep them.
Well, I'm the same thing with the National Health Service in the UK. They did exactly the same thing from Russia, blackmailing Bitcoin, cough up the money in Bitcoin, same setup, Kurt.
But this is so much more for me, because when you are a franchise or a business in that environment, in that ecosphere, and you sign up for some kind of centralized data thing, whether we're talking about Facebook or X, or, you know, we talk about this, grow your own mail list, have your own site. We just talked about WordPress, how with WordPress, you could own your own site and via API have access to these different data points. I think it's time that people in business really need to start looking at their options, because these giant SaaS platforms are all going to become victims of some kind of hack and ransomware. And where does that money go? Well, it comes right back to the people that pay for this crud. So instead of $5,000 a month for your subscription, it's going to go to $9,000 a month because they got to build a bank account to pay off terrorists 2 years from now. It's just not a great situation. And with that, I got
no. All right. So, Spencer, what do you reckon, Spencer? This is the whole problem with total walled garden SaaS Swiss Army knife solutions, isn't it, Spencer? It sounds all great until it isn't great, is it, Spencer?
I mean, what I was going to say earlier, which is my answer for this, is that we're looking at screens and typing on keyboards. That is not going to be the metaphor for very long. We've already seen altered and augmented reality and headset and earpiece devices, all kinds of stuff embedded in this and that. So the point is, you can sit here and worry about like what Matt Mullenweg is going to do about WordPress, but WordPress is only good for putting stuff on a screen right now and typing into a keyboard. We were not going to be browsing web pages. And those of us who've been playing, and most people have, with AI, like I use it to code, but I also use the thing on my iPhone now to talk to it. And I got to be honest, it's not uncanny anymore. There was one day I was...
I know where you're coming from there, actually, Spencer, but I'll put this to you, Mark. I slightly disagree with Spencer there, but I do understand where he's coming from, because this was, to me, it's very relevant to web design, Mark, because when mobile devices come, you've got responsive websites that respond to the device that you're utilizing. But I think there is a physicality around a particular device. And what I mean by that, Mark, is that Apple, who are, I think, are seen as the kings of UX and usability design, they never put a touchscreen interface on their computers, on their laptops, on their desktops. They only put it on their tablets and their mobile. And I think they do it. Who wants to stretch over and put their fingers all over their screen? And so where I disagree with Spencer is I think there's particular usage are kind of linked to the device. And I think when it comes to VR, virtual reality, I never think it's going to be as big as the people that are pushing it. But that's only my opinion, Mark. What's yours?
I mean, well, on the VR side of things, I mean, yeah, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell the future. But like, I mean, I've seen like the Ready Player One video game, like, you know, movies and stuff. And that's kind of crazy. Like to think that we might get there is nah. But I do think, I'm not sure if we want to go back directly to the car situation, the hack there, but with the VR part of it, I don't know. I mean, it seems like Apple did, you know, come out with that Apple Vision Pro thing. So, I mean, they kind of believe in that realm.
I think that it's looking like that hasn't been very successful in there.
It might be one of those situations where it's still too early, or it may never catch on. Yeah, I don't know. But I think that once, if we get to the point where you can like put yourself fully like maybe in a different world, then I do think there's at least some level of a market for that. But I don't. It's hard for me to say because I don't really like want to do that necessarily. You know, I don't know if like we want to do that, but I think there might be some people that will. Yeah, I don't know how to look into a crystal ball.
Stand with Spencer.
I don't think it's going to be VR. I think it's going to be augmented reality. So yeah, the devices are going to be part of your environment instead of looking at a screen.
Yeah, but you got to understand, Spencer. You love your ladies. This guy, Mark, he has his whole house. He's got all these sound devices. If he says a certain name, he sets off three different sound devices.
Actually, I have a smart home as well, so I'm with Spencer on that.
I don't mention their name unless I need to talk to him. But that's the thing is, honestly, if you've been around long enough with the early days of technology, I just moved the house, right? And the home office. And I had a box of like hard drives from old computers and stuff. I was like 26 hard drives. I was thinking, how long I've had computers? And all those different machines have come and gone, and the tools and the things I did with video editing and so forth, the monitors, the screens. Technology is constantly changing, and we're inevitably going to end up with something that is not going to be publishing web pages for people to go look at stuff at anymore. I mean, that's just common sense. So this whole argument is interesting, because I would argue, as a marketer, a lifelong marketer, from the days of putting leaflets under the windshields of cars, that it's a fool's errand to build this industry around the idea that you're, you know, putting mimeographed paper leaflets under a car window is going to be a business model forever, because the same stuff we're doing now with WordPress is going to evolve. So WordPress is going to have to evolve into like smart devices or augmented devices or wearable devices or something else besides what it is. And maybe that's what he thinks Gutenberg is going to be. But the notion of us publishing websites, it's like the window is just closing down and closing down. And I don't know how quickly it'll be, but I think it'll be like the Berlin Wall. One day the Russians are bombing us to oblivion. The next day the wall's down and everybody's friends. Yeah.
Well, we have to agree to disagree on that a little bit as well, Spence, because I think I use AI tools almost every day now, and I love them, and they've been really helpful to me. So there's part of me that's very positive, but also I really think AI is in a bit of a bubble, and there's just a load of nonsense flannel being said about AI, and you see all the worst signs of a bubble in the stock market, in the corporate America world around it. Doesn't mean at the core there isn't some real positive elements to AI, but I just see it being an utter bubble, Spencer. And,
you know, time will tell. None of us know, but I just say it's not worth... There's so many things changing so fast. You can see and hear the acceleration happening, right? I mean, everything from the finances to the politics to people to the environment, we're in an accelerated time. So it would just be a waste of energy to get too worked up over these other little things, because we're arguing over like which music is the Titanic playing on the way down.
Right, it's time to wrap it up. So thanks for your contribution, Spencer. It's been fantastic. I had to cut you a bit short because I had to give the opportunity for Kirk before he had to leave. But Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your thoughts, Spencer?
WPLaunchify.com or on social at Spencer Forman. F-O-R-M-A-N.
And Mark, thanks for coming back on the show again. You've made some great contributions. What's the best way for people to find out more about you and your thoughts, Mark?
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me again, Jonathan. Spencer, great to see you again. If you go to, if you just Google my name, it's kind of hard to spell. But if you just go to mjs.bio, that'll give you all my links to my socials and everything like that. I'm on YouTube. Yeah, hit me up.
Yeah. And thanks for supporting the show, Tribe. The best way of doing it is to share this on social media and put your own comments. That would be fantastic. And also, Tribe, remember, love more and friend more. That's what you should do. We will be back next month with another great roundtable. We got Jason Cohen coming on the show, the founder of WP Engine. He's always a fantastic guest. And I'll find somebody else to probably join. And it should be a great show. We'll see you next month, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.